not.
But if you want the stock to go to 24,000, I need a picture and a buy. Okay, good morning, everyone.
Okay, I get it.
Thank you for joining us to begin the week with some extra, an extra Seder, some extra Limud HaTorah. And I figured we'd discuss, we'd chazer some of the halachas of the sugya, which is relevant to the parsha that we laid, very relevant to the parsha that we laid yesterday. We'll discuss it in the halacha. It's halachas which are very relevant to halacha l'maisa, even though they may not be so familiar to many of us, and in a little bit in the machshava, what Chazal are trying to relate to us. And even if this is something not relevant to our lives in particular, it is definitely something where the message behind it is clear from Chazal and something which is worthwhile contemplating for some time. So the sugya is the sugya of, and I put on the sheet, already people are asking me, no backseas. I remember as a kid, I don't know if they still say it, but as a kid, once you got your hand on that baseball card that you were looking, it didn't matter what happened, no backseas, they're not putting it back. So the question is, in halacha, when do we say that you can't return anymore? When do we say that this is a final deal and there's no going back on it? And the truth is that there are madregas in halacha, and I simply want to chazer the different madregas because they are very relevant, perhaps more relevant than other areas of dinei mamonos. And that is because we know when we usually delve into a situation which is in the realm of dinei mamonos, so very, very often the halachas take a back seat. We don't like to say it, but very often halacha lemaisa, the halacha, what's found in Shulchan Aruch, will take a back seat because we have a concept of dina demachus adina, and that often affects a person's mindset, and in dina mamonos, everything goes with the person's mindset, what he was assuming, what the two parties were assuming. That's all true when it comes to the rigid halachas, halacha lemaisa, of being motzi mamon from a person. We'll see that the topic that we're discussing this morning goes a little bit beyond that, and that's much of what I want to discuss, where we've left the halacha, we've left the rigid halachas of whether I could take you to Bezin and take money out, and now we've gone more into the values behind our monetary system, the ideals, at what point are we considered to be an honest person, at what point are we considered to be a dishonest person. And you're right, you can't go to Bezin necessarily to be moitzi this particular mammon, let's say, but how do Chazal view this particular person? And we all know that we don't want to just not steal, we also want to be doing business in a way which is considered alpi Torah to be a just and straight way. So therefore, I thought it was an important halacha to discuss. So let's jump right in. There is the concept in Shas, found many times throughout Shas. The Gemara tells us in Baba Metzia that me'ikar midin de'araisa, from the standpoint of the Torah, a person could acquire mitaltalin. Mitaltalin is anything aside from karka, any movable object, which is a way, the acquisition that a person could acquire a movable object. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, ma'os koinos. On a daraisa level, you give money to the person who has the object. You both make a deal that you are going to transfer the item. The ownership will be transferred. So the Gemara says, you know what? Chazal take avitz for granted. Rabbi Shimon Shkup discusses this in his Shara Yosher. How do I know I even need a ma'isa kinyan? Maybe I decide I have a nice phone over here. You want the phone. You come to me and you say, you know what? I'll give you $100 for the phone. We make a deal. 100%. We both agree to it. Maybe it should transfer. Why do I need a ma'isa kinyan? So that's an interesting question. But clearly, across the Gemara, just our mindset being on the same page is not enough. We need a real kinyan, an acquisition where it's 100% clear that everyone had gemiras, das, full intent to transfer the item. So we need a kinyan. So the Gemara tells us, what kinyan do we need when it comes to movable objects? The Gemara goes through lengthy discussion, but one of the kinyan and one of the methods of acquiring something which is called a movable object, metaltalin, is by giving the money. That means I don't have the phone right here, but you know I have a phone in my house, and you say, I want your phone. And I say, okay, I'll charge you $150 for the phone. You give me the $150. At that point, midin daraisa, the phone has transferred ownership from me to you. Once you give me the money, so midin daraisa, the phone is yours. That's called dvar Torah. Midin daraisa ma'os koinis. All you have to do, transfer the money, and automatically the object becomes transferred. That's the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, who we paskin like. come Chazal and say we have a problem. If we hold that ma'os are konos, what's going to happen? You're going to have a warehouse somewhere in New Jersey full of all sorts of items. And I'm going to come and I'll say, I want that entire warehouse. In the time of Chazal, it was wheat. Today, it might be a warehouse full of iPads. Who knows what it is? But you say, I want the whole warehouse. Whatever you have, $1 million worth of metaltolin over there. I want to buy it. And you come and you give me the money. And the money, you give me $1 million. Maybe you pay a little bit extra. And midin Torah, we said, you give me the money. The warehouse full of the warehouse itself doesn't change ownership. That's karka. But the iPads all go to you. Says the Gemara, what's going to happen now? God forbid there's a fire in the warehouse. Is the person who has the warehouse, who knows about the warehouse, who knows even where it is he going to try? Is it, let's say it's in his house. He has boxes and boxes of iPads in his aliyah, in his attic. And now a fire, God forbid, breaks out in his house. He's not going to the attic to save it. It's not mine anymore. That's the guy. That guy's problem. So since if we say that the ownership of the item transferred ownership while it's still in my rishos, just because you gave me money, the Gemara says we're going to have a big problem because something happens to those items and we're up the creek. This guy's not going to save it because it's not mine anymore. That's what the Gemara calls nisrifu chitecha ba'aliyah. If we allow ourselves to go with ma'os koinais, if we allow ownership to transfer just because you gave me the money, so then there's a tremendous liability over here. Because something's bound to, if something happens, so then the old owner is not going to help out the new owner at all, because he's going to save his own stuff. Why should I save this stuff? This stuff is already not mine. That's called nisrifu chitecha ba'aliyah. We're nervous that the commodity, whatever it might be, wheat, is going to get burnt ba'aliyah in the attic. Therefore, Chazal said, even though mida'araisa, ma'os is koinus, and the transaction is completed, once the money is given, that's only mida'araisa. Mida'rabanan, ma'os are not koinus. Mida'rabanan, it's not good enough to give money. You gave the money, that guy still owns it, and therefore if a fire breaks out, you better believe he's going to try to save it, because otherwise he gets his money back. Ma'os are not koinus. You actually have to go and do a kinyan, a meshicha, a hagbah, do a kinyan on the physical item for you to own it. So mida'araisa, just the transfer of the money is koina. Midrabanan, we say, no, the ma'os are not koina. Come Chazal and say, but don't take advantage of this. You're right, midrabanan, the ma'os are koina. So you give money to a person, and you want to buy his warehouse full of iPads, let's say. And we know that midrabanan, that works. Midrabanan, Chazal say, no, it doesn't work, because we're nervous that nisrifu chitecha, something will happen to the iPads, and the old owner won't try to save them. So Chazal say, okay, so the kinyan doesn't work. But let's say nothing happened to those iPads. And now, after giving you the $1 million, I wake up one day and I say, you know what? I'm not interested anymore. I thought it was a bad deal. Or I see that the stock of Apple is starting to go down. So I say, you know what? I already gave him the money, but on a derabanan level, I know I could get out of this. I know it doesn't work. So I'm going to go out and renege on the deal. We already did a kinyan. The kinyan didn't fully conclude the deal because we know that the midrabanan, I have to go and do a ma'aseh kinyan. I have to go actually take the iPads myself. But I gave him the money, and I say, you know what? I want to back out. So I go to the guy and say, I know I gave you the $1 million. I want the $1 million back. You take the iPads. The guy says, what do you mean? You just have to come pick them up. You already gave me the money. So Gemara says, what can we do? On a derabanan level, we said, ma'os are not koine. The money's not koine. But say Chazal, this person is not a just person. What he did was something wrong, and therefore, say Chazal, take a look at the Mishnah, Aval Amru, the first line, Marmakum number one, Aval Amru, Mi shepara me anshe dar hamabel umi dar haflaga, hu asid lehipare mi mi she'eno oime bidiburo. You're 100% right, mi din Torah, you're allowed to renege on the deal. But since we got so far as giving the money, and all we had to do was one more step for you to actually do the kinyan, that's called, you're right, you could renege. And midine Torah, you're the full owner on the money. You could get the money back. He's the owner on the iPads. It's his problem. But Misha, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, who paid, Misha Para, who made the Dor HaMabul pay, and the Dor HaFlaga pay, he's going to end up paying from you, because you're not dealing honestly in business. So it's a very interesting situation. It's a situation in Halacha where we say the transaction is not completed, and you have every right in Dine Mominis to renege on the deal, because the transaction was not completed yet. However, know that what you're doing is not right. And therefore, we curse you. We curse you. We go to our last resort, and we curse you. We're not mechayiv you money. You can't be tovei in bezin. We curse you. Gemara says we say mishapar, the person who punished the dora mabel, he's going to punish you because you're not standing up. You're not doing business correctly. That's the concept of mishapar. And what I mentioned why it's so important is because so frequently there are cases where in bezin a person can't be tovei in money for whatever reason, because it's not clear what the mindset was, or it's not clear that he did a kinyan, but still, or because the dina de malchusa dina doesn't allow for the bezdin to collect. But whenever we have a situation, according to many shitas, whenever we have a situation where a person went a certain degree with it to the kinyan and went beyond a certain point, we'll have to discuss what that point is. But he's a certain point within beyond the kinyan. They already established that the transaction was going to take place. You're right that you might not be able to bring it to Bezdin, but we have this concept you have to deal with. No one wants to be cursed by Bezdin. No one wants to say whatever happened to the Dora Mabul, Dora Flaga, is going to happen to you. So a person always has to realize you have to deal with whether you're going to win in Bezdin. Yeah, that's the halacha. But you also have to deal with, are you being an honest person? Do Chazal view you as an honest person? Or maybe even though in Bezdin I could win, maybe that's not the right thing to do. And there's a concept of Mishapar. I'll give you another example. There's a concept in halacha of Situmta. Situmta is an interesting kinyan. Situmta means that the Chazal came and said that at the end of the day, we gave you all the kinyanim that work on a Torah level, all the methods of transaction that work on a Torah level. But there's one other way of making a transaction. What is that? Say Chazal. If there's a specific method that everyone in the world uses, it's the custom, it's the minhag ha'olam, Chazal say that works for halacha as well. Ad kedei kach, that there are many poskim that say, in certain industries we know well, a handshake is considered to be final, it's done. Chazal say, if that's the case, if the minhag ha'olam is that a handshake means the deal's done, so in halacha also, the handshake means the deal is done. But very often, you'll have a situmta, where at the end of the day, for whatever reason, you can't go and be tovei and bezdin, you can't go to court and get the money yet. But the poskim will say that you should know, if you renege on a situmta, it's clear that you're in the category of mishapara. You're not dealing honestly in business, and you have to accept this, curse, so to speak, of bezdin. That's the concept of mishapara, and again, it applies beyond the area that the Gemara talks about. The case that the Gemara talks about is a case of where you already gave the money, but you didn't finish the transaction, because we say ma'os are not konas, money doesn't acquire. You have to actually do a transaction on the item. But Chazal come and say, anytime, this is the gedder that the poskim use, anytime where you actually went through an action, it wasn't just talking about the deal, you went to the extent that you're doing an action, and you decided we're going to do it, and then you went to the extent where you acted upon what you said you would do, even if you haven't finished the deal, even according to many poskim, you just wrote up the contract, you haven't gone to the lawyer yet to sign it. At that point, you've taken active steps towards solidifying the deal. Many poskim hold that's the point where you have to accept upon yourself mishapar. And even though you're allowed to back out, and Bezin can't run after you, and the guy can't sue you, at that point, it's mishapara, and you have to accept upon yourself this type of curse. So it depends on the mindset, but that could be a good example. That could be a good example. If the mindset is clear that I'm just giving, you're forcing me into a deposit, that's why we do. We want you to make some sort of, but people walk away all the time, so then probably that would not be mishapar. But if the concept of the deposit is that you don't have all the money up front. So, okay, so give me some of the money. So that's a case before Shin Shulchan Aruch. That's a case where a person has to accept upon himself. If he backs out, he accepts upon himself the idea of Mi Shepar.
So now, tally on industry standards.
Yeah, very often it will be tally on the mindset of the people, on the mindset of the two people, which is often tally on industry standards. Correct. Now let me give you another example, which I think highlights a very important question when it comes to Mi Shepar. We know that there is a concept in halacha of davar shelo bala oilam. In halacha, you can't sell something which you don't own yet. It makes a lot of sense. Most economies don't necessarily follow it, but in halacha, until you have ownership of something, real ownership, you can't sell it. You can't sell something that you might get, that you think you will get, that chances are you might get. You can't sell it. Unless you have it in your ownership, you're not allowed to sell it. Okay? Now, let's say I go ahead and I do sell it. And I say, you know what? The apples that come in my tree this year, I'm selling them to you right now. So the kinyan's not chal. You can't sell something you don't have. Okay, the kinyan's not chal. But now the apples came. Let's say I don't give them to you. Is that Misha Para? Do I have to accept upon myself the curse? You told me you were going to give it to me. We even did a Maisa Kinyan. You're right, the Maisa Kinyan didn't work. But it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, even if Maisa Kinyan doesn't work, still, you have to, if you bring neg on your word, you have to accept upon yourself this concept of Misha Para, the one who took vengeance against Dor HaMabul, he will take vengeance against you. Now what is this? So this is a Machlokes Rishonim. When someone takes a Kinyan on something which is not yet yours, and you sell it, is there Misha Para? What's the Machlokes? I believe we could ask a very fundamental concept question when it comes to the concept of Misha Para, which opens up the sugya of Misha Para for us, and based on this, we'll try to understand what Chazal had in mind. And that question is as follows. When it comes to Misha Para, this concept of Al Pidin, you can't get the money from me. Al Pidin, you can't bring me to Bezin, but you still will get paid back. The Rebbeinu Shem doesn't consider you to be an honest person. Is that a halacha in Dine Mamanis? Are we saying that this person has an actual Mamanis dick, a claim on this item? I have a claim on those iPads. You're right, I can't be Tovei and Bezdin because they said that Mo's not Konos. But in the realm of money, in the realm of Kinyanim, real Kinyanim, I have a claim that I have the right to buy those things. And now you're not giving me the right to buy those things. So you're not stealing from me, but it's in the realm of theft. You're taking something which I have the right to buy and you're not letting me buy. Is it a claim in the world of Dine Mamanis or no? In the world of Dine Mamanis, this is open and closed. You don't own it. You either own something or you don't. Here, you don't own it. There's no such thing as having the right to own it down the road. But what is this? This is an Isser, right? We know that Halacha deals with Dine Mamanis in two realms. The realm of the economy, the realm of finances, who owns, who doesn't own, the realm of Kinyanim, but also in the realm of what's right and what's not right. So is this just the Rebbeinu Shem saying, you know, you just didn't do something right, and that's why Bez didn't curse you? Or is this in the realm of, no, he has a real mumnistic claim. He doesn't own it now, but he has a real claim that he should be able to be the owner. This is in the world of Dine Mamanis. And if that's the case, so then one could understand what's going on when it comes to Davar Shel Bala Olam. Why would you say that this concept doesn't apply to Davar Shel Bala Olam? Because Davar Shel Bala Olam, you can't have a kinyan on. It's not here. There's nothing to own. So if the concept of Misha Para, if the concept of Misha Para is indicative of that, you're right, I don't own it, but I have some right on this item, you can't have a right on an item that doesn't exist. And therefore, Misha Para would not apply to Davar Shel Bala Olam. But if Misha Para is not a right, it's not a monetary right, it's not a right that I have, that I purchased. Misha Para is just, you're just not a nice guy. You're not a person that goes by your word. So then it could apply to anything. Even if it's Davar Shel Bala Olam, you said you would give it to him, and you're not giving it to him. It's a very important question. Is Misha Para, this concept, is it indicative that there is some sort of kinyan there? Not a full kinyan, but there is some sort of kinyan there that you should have the right to this thing, and this guy is stealing that from you. He's taking that away from you. Not enough that you could bring it to Bezdin, but enough that Rebbeinu Shem says, we're gonna punish you. Or, no, he has no right in the world of Hilchas Mamanis. This is, we've now transferred into the world of Hilchas Deis. We've left the world of Choshe Mishpah, he has no right. But you have to be a nice guy. In the world of Hilchas Deis, you are not being a nice guy. L'may nafkamina, perhaps I would argue, this is the machlekes between Abaye and Rava. Because Abaye and Rava have a very important machlekes. They say, what does it mean that you curse the person, Misha Para? What does that mean? Does that mean that we're notifying him, you know, what you just did? Rebbeinu Shem doesn't like that. He's going to take out his wrath against you. Or do we actually bring him to Bezin and we curse him? That's a machlokes Abaye and Rava. Abaye says, Meida Yadina Lei. We're not cursing him. We just tell you, we know that Bernersham doesn't like this. And chances are, you see what happened to Dor HaMabul? They were engaged in all sorts of chamas, all sorts of tricky monetary schemes in order to fool people out of their money. So that's what you're doing. We can't bring you to Bezin. Just like when it came to the door of Noyach, they couldn't bring him to Bezin, the Gemara says, because they stole so little that each claim was insignificant. They threw it out of court. But at the end of the day, it was a trick, so they came up with a scheme. So Rebbeinu Shem took care of him. So you also came up with a scheme. You're right, I can't bring you to Bezdin. But the Rebbeinu Shem will take care of you. Are we being notifying him? Rava says, no, we're not notifying him. We bring him to Bezdin. This is an onesh. We bring him to Bezdin and we curse him. And there's a machlokes in the Rishayin. What does it mean we curse him? Do we give a general curse and say, you know, that whoever paid back from the Dor HaMabul should pay back from people that don't keep their word? And some Rishayinim say, no, we even go further. We curse him. We use his name. We say, whoever, can you imagine such a thing? You come into Beis Din, and Beis Din says, whoever punished the Dor HaMavol should punish Pliny ben Pliny. We should take you out and punish you. What's the machlekes between Abaye and Rava? I would argue it's the same exact thing. The question that they're arguing, Medina Dina Le, you know what, we're not going to curse you. I'm just telling you that the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't like this, because what you did was inherently in the realm of theft. You had a right, this guy had a right to his item, and you took that away from him. Or, no, what you did itself, you didn't do anything wrong. But this is not just, we can't have a system like this. So therefore, Chazal come, Beis Din come and say, we're going to curse you. Let's say you're never brought to Beis Din, and Beis Din never curses you. Are you in Misha Parah? Let's say you did something which obligates you in Misha Parah. According to Abaye, the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to punish you. Okay, because Beis Din didn't tell you it's not going to happen? No, the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to punish you. According to Rava, what causes Beis Din to punish you? The fact that they curse you. That's what causes Beis Din to punish you. So therefore, if he never brings you to Beis Din, and Beis Din doesn't stand you up, and isn't Me'ari, it doesn't give you the curse, so in the Chora, you're not within the concept of Misha Parah. But this is a very important question when it comes to Misha Parah. Again, Misha Parah, the concept of Misha Parah is, even when the sale, the transaction has not been completed al pidin for whatever technical reason, but if you have taken steps to solidify the deal beyond just discussing it, and then one party reneges, so you're right, he can't be tevei you in Beis Din, but then you have to be mekabel alecha, what the Gemara says, you have to be mekabel alecha, this curse, where Beis Din comes and curses you and says, the Rebbeinu Shalom, we can't take action against you, but the Rebbeinu Shalom himself will take action. Now, this is not the only madrega. This is the most chamer madrega, where a person actually took actions towards solidifying the deal, and then he reneged. Let's say a person didn't take action towards solidifying the deal. We're discussing it, and we come to an agreement, and we say, okay, a good deal. Let's meet by the lawyer tomorrow. Again, we're not still in the middle of conversation. We're in the middle of conversation, so we never agreed. We finished conversation. We came to a deal. I agreed. You agreed. Nothing changed. We agree we're going to meet at the lawyer tomorrow. I'm waiting by the lawyer, 10 o'clock a.m. He doesn't show up. I call him. He says, you know what? I've slept over it. Slept on it. Not interested anymore. Nothing changed. Market didn't change. The items didn't change. What's going on over here? So here, too, the Gemara says, you don't have to be, you're not cursed. Beis Din doesn't curse you because you didn't take any active stance yet on the transaction. But still, you gave your word. In Klal Yisrael, you give your word. For a Jew, you give your word. You have to hold by your word. Says the Gemara, Ein ruach chachamim noicheimen. Chazal get upset. That's what it's called, mechusar amana. You're not a trustworthy person. Chazal say, you can't renege on something. Once you agreed to such a thing, take a look in Shulchan Aruch. On the second side, says the Shulchan Aruch, Mar Malkum 10, Se'iv Zayin, Hanoyseh v'noyseh b'dvarim bilvad. You have to keep your word. Even though no transaction has taken place. Nothing active has taken place. We've just discussed it. We're not going to curse you in Beis Din. We look down upon you. You are not considered to be in the realm of Chazal. You are not considered to be an honest person. A very scary thing. You didn't take any action. You just had a conversation. You made it clear that we're going to go ahead with it. If you don't go ahead with it, Ein ruach chachamim
noichemen. So you make a deal. You see, you want to buy your neighbor's house. You say, how much do you want? It looks great. We're going to meet at the lawyer. And then that night somebody calls you and says, do you know that I know for a fact that there's a problem with the foundation of this house and maybe it should be checked or something.
Right, so the Paiskim are, the Shilas and Shulas Farm are replete with these type of Shilas and Shulas. Every case is different, but as a rule, that type of scenario, a person would not be considered Mechusar Amana because he didn't know, he wasn't told something. Yeah. On the contrary, if he goes through this the deal, the other person might be a Ganef because you didn't tell me what I'm buying. You told me I'm buying a house. I'm not buying a house. I'm buying a swamp. So that would be a problem. What? Oh, so let's discuss karka for a moment because I know people are interested in buying real estate, right? What else is worth buying other than real estate? So what does this apply to karka? So many, many poskim hold, even though we hold that money acquires land, acquires real estate. So it should be on that. Forget Misha Parah. You're not allowed to renege even. The Gemara says in a place where money itself doesn't acquire. And the assumption is we're also going to write a contract So Gemara says you need to give money and you have to write a contract. Money's not good enough. So let's say I'm in a type of place.
Write or sign.
Whatever the minhag is, whatever the industry standard is that we assume that we...
So
we
not dealing in Al-Khusa in this case?
It's whatever the industry standard. Not even Dina Al-Khusa. It's before Dina Al-Khusa because...
So you're giving a deposit on a house. Nothing's happened yet.
Yeah.
And then the next day, before or during the time of the negotiation of the contract, the parties decide they've got a problem with whatever it is and they...
So it depends on what the problem is, but that would be a scenario where you're right. You're allowed to back out because... But it might be a problem of, depending on the situation... It might be a shaila of Mishapar. Exactly. Because if nothing changed and everything's the same, you just woke up on the wrong side of the bed that day and say, you know what, I don't really want to live there anymore. If you found out the neighbors are terrible people, or you found out that the foundation, that's a separate story. But if you just change your mind after giving down a deposit, that could be a scenario where Mishapara would apply. So let's review very carefully. There are three madregas in Chazal. We've only discussed two so far. The third one is even more stringent. The Gemara tells us in Baba Basra that a person makes a decision, he doesn't even articulate it. He does not even articulate it. He goes into a store and he makes a decision, I'm going to buy that. And he goes around roaming through the store to see what else he wants to buy. And by the time he gets to the cashier, he says, yeah, no, I'm not interested. The Gemara says in Babas, this is a very chamer thing, not clear whether we paskin it, but the paskin do say, v'yorei shemayim, yesh lo lekayim afilu kishe gomar beliboy. Even when you made the decision to yourself, Gemara says in Baba Basra, based on a pasuk, you made the decision already in yourself. You weren't going back and forth. You're going back and forth, you didn't make a decision. Gemara says, if you made a decision, you didn't articulate it to the other party at all, but you made a decision, you're going to buy this thing. Gemara says, a Yerush Shemayim goes through that channel. You do what you decided you're going to do. That's a chumrah, which we don't pass on like halacha maisa, but a Yerush Shemayim. But it, what? Right. Okay, very good. Right. So, but that we're in the realm of Yerush Shemayim. We're in the realm of Yerush Shemayim. So that again, I think we have to work on the first two madregas first. But just showing you the extent to which halacha is concerned with a person being honest, a person following through not only on his word, but what he had already made up. Now, in the realm of tzedakah, it's not so posh. If you already made up to give tzedakah, so that's not simple at all. That's a separate shir, whether a person's allowed to renege on it, even if you didn't articulate it. That's a separate shir. We're not discussing about that. But there is one concept of even doing what you made your mind up. Okay, that's one concept. The Gemara said, the place and say, your Shemayim should go ahead. It would probably depend on how much of a loss it is. If you made up your mind to buy a house, you decide not to, that might be something different. If you made up your mind to buy a few apples, so I'd say, your Shemayim would go ahead. Fine. The next madrega is where a person is called Mechusar Amana. He didn't take any active steps to solidifying the deal. But still, Chazal said, if you made a deal with this person, and you said, we're going to go through this deal, and then you renege on it, he has no claim on you in Beis Din. He can't even bring you to Beis Din to curse you. But you are Mechusar Amana, you are not considered to be an honest person in the eyes of Chazal. And then the most Chamer Madrega is where you actually began the process and you took action, whether it was because you gave some of the money, you gave a deposit, you wrote, even according to many poskim, you wrote a memorandum of understanding, you took action that you're going to go through the kinyan. We just didn't get a chance yet to finalize it, to get it signed by the lawyers. Not only are you considered to be mechusar amana if you back out, the Gemara says that's where you have to be mekabel alecha, you have to accept upon yourself that Beis Din is going to curse you, the Rebbeinu Shalom curse you. Now let's discuss for one moment this concept of Beis Din cursing you. Mishapara midora mabel. Why dafka dora mabel? So I mentioned before in passing that we know that the dora mabel was guilty of chamas, guilty of crimes in the realm of Dine Mamanis, but they did it in a very unique way. They did it in a way where they knew they wouldn't be able to be brought to Beis Din. Because it was too little, it was pachas mishava pruta, it was too little, Beis Din, any court's going to throw this case out. And they did this enough time that it ended up being a lot of money. So what was the main problem? They knew how to get around it. They wanted to steal in a way which the Beis Din is not going to claim. And the Rebbeinu Shlom said, you think I don't know what's going on, you think I need a Beis Din to punish you? So that's what's going on over here as well. The Gemara says, Mishapara midor hamabel, the Rebbeinu Shalom who punished the dor hamabel, so you too, maybe he can't bring you to Beis Din. Maybe he can't claim the money from you, but you should realize the Rebbeinu Shalom understands exactly what you're doing. I heard from Rav Asher Weiss a very interesting var. He says that the Gemara really says, midor, the Mishnah really says, Mishapara midor hamabel, u midor haflaga. Midar Mabel and Midar Flaga. Why does the Mishnah bring both the Dar Mabel and the Dar Flaga? Some Rishonim say it's just Agav Urche. It meant the Dar Mabel, but the Dar Flaga happens so frequently after, so quickly after, so it's stuck in Dar Flaga as well. Rosh Weiss explained as follows. What was the problem of Dar Mabel? The problem of Dar Mabel was that a problem in the realm of Ben Adam Lechaveru. They were liars. They didn't keep their word. That was in the realm of Chamas. What was the problem of the Dor HaFlaga? They weren't necessarily, they didn't have problems Ben Adam L'Chavero. They had problems Ben Adam L'Makam. It was Kfira, Emuna. They wanted to rebel against the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So what are Chazal telling us? We think sometimes that Sheker, lying, is in the realm of Ben Adam L'Chavero. It's in the realm of stealing, the realm of theft. Chazal are telling us that no. Person who is Meshaker, person who's not honest, doesn't follow his word, that's not a person only who is transgressing chamas, like the Dor HaMabel, but you're even being pogeya in your Tzelem Elokim. The way that we're created is B'Tzelem Elokim, and the Chaysamel Shel Rebbeinu Shel of the Rebbeinu Shalom, what makes the Rebbeinu Shalom the Rebbeinu Shalom, the way the Rebbeinu Shalom defines himself is emes, is honesty. If a person is not trustworthy, so that takes away from his Tzelem Elokim itself. You're not only following the ways of the Dor HaMabel because you're being dishonest in business, but this, Chazal view you as a lower status of a person. You have a lower status of a Tzelem Elokim. You don't resemble the Rebbeinu Shalom as much as a Jew should resemble the Rebbeinu Shalom. A Jew should resemble the Rebbeinu Shalom. Everything he says, everything that comes out of his mouth, it should be gold. It should be 100%, I could take it to the bank. The person has to suspect that maybe you told me this, maybe you told me that, but I don't know what's going to happen. Till the deal's done, I don't believe anything. That's not the way business should be done amongst Jews. People should be able to trust each other. So therefore, don't think that this is just a problem of Dor HaMabel. This is a problem of Dor HaFlaga as well. It takes away from your relationship, not only Ben Adam L'Chavero, but Ben Adam L'Malkum as well. I hope that this short chazara will enhance our halacha, abiding of these halachas, but also that we think more about the importance of being honest in different dealings, whether in business or any other area of life.
Skaravi Kadash Merabah, Amadi Brachyutevim Lich Mahutev.